At this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be our primary speaker today. Dr. McLaughlin.
Okay, it's once again good to be online with everyone, and we're going to get right down to the information that we hope will help you. This will be a different type of web conference or clinic, different in the sense that in much of what we do, we get very, very granular in these calls and work on the details of a specific issue like email capture and so on. But for the purpose of this call, we want to kind of pull back and look at the whole lab and how to use it and how to use the blueprints. And at the same time, if you bear with us in the beginning, we're going to move through some elementary things so that we make sure that everybody on this call is really understanding how to get the most out of the lab. And then we're going to actually be interviewing a number of our members and or research partners and talk to them about how they're using the lab and how they're using the blueprint, and let you question them so that we can work together on getting the most out of the data and the work that we're doing here and the work that you're doing with your own group. So with that in mind, I think the big question is, when you have a site with as much information on it as this one, we used to say there was 300 plus pages and this and that, it's so much more, and we just have understated it. How do you cut through, filter through that information, and use the site in the most effective way? We have been conducting research to that end, and in fact have discovered that there have been a number of issues. One of those is trying to use the AOL browser, problems signing up as members or logging in, not knowing the difference between a member or subscriber, not knowing if you're signed in as a member or subscriber, not knowing how to access the archive data, not understanding the difference between the lab pass and a subscription, and where or what the starting point is on the blueprint, and the difference between the publisher's lab and the retailer's lab. I encourage you, as I start to walk through a few things with you, that you feel free to jump in with your questions or comments, and we want to be interactive this, so don't be afraid to raise your questions as we walk through the lab, its differences. And also, I'm going to talk briefly about our research methodology. It's something that we've not discussed before with you. And the goal of this call, and I'm very keen on this, because I'm not moving from a, I'm not speaking now from a research briefing per se. And so, in this type of telephone call, I'm keenly aware of the fact that it's that we have to work hard to make sure we accomplish the objective. And that objective is to help you understand how to use this lab in the most effective way possible to meet your needs. So please help us help you do that. And let's begin by talking about the login procedure and a few things related to navigation and the differences in the lab. For one thing, many people confuse the first half of the site, which is the subscriber side, which is the free side of the site, with the paid part of the site. If you just go to marketingexperiments.com and you don't click on the login tab, which is at the top of the page, you're going to be constantly inundated with information regarding various services and you know, and membership offers, and you'll only be able to see half of the reports and wonder why or how, as a member, you're not getting all of the information. You've got to log in to do that, and most of you probably know that, and forgive me again if I'm being elementary, but I would suggest that you won't ever get any type of advertisement like that when you come in and log in and get to the lab, nor will you get, you know, half reports. You'll get the full information that we deliver. Just so you know, a full research report as opposed to a research briefing, and we had some conversations with our members, some of you that are on this phone call, about what is the best format to present our information. We've been experimenting with some shorter briefings and then breaking up and sending you separately literature reviews, which we think they need to be a little bit closer together in the timing of when we send them. But the bottom line is the briefing is different than a major report. In a report, there's a Section 1 and Section 2. Section 1 typically tells you data from our experiments. Section 2 typically gives you a lot of how-to insights in terms of application of the data. The subscribers get the data, but they don't get the much longer and more substantial part related to the actual how-to, the insights, and the blueprints and things of that nature. So, having said that, we're going to assume that everyone, even now as I'm speaking, is logged into the lab. They've gone to marketingexperiments.com or they've bookmarked the login page. In either event, they're logged in. And at the top, current, you're going to see three tabs, Research, Log, Publisher's Lab, and Retailer's Lab. Now, there are some changes coming based on a lot of surveying and working with you and wanting hard to do better for you. But currently, there's a distinction between the Publisher's Lab and the Retailer's Lab. This was developed because when we did our research on every one of our members, believe it or not, we traced every single member's IP back to the domain name to see what kind of business they were. And we discovered that 33% of our members were consultants, 33% of our members were in the retail business, 33% of our members were publishers. We also discovered that even the retailers, 70-some percent of them, had some type of publishing activity on their site, and a full 70% plus of the publishers had some type of retail activity on their site, so there was a strong overlap. What we did is we divided our reports so that the publisher's lab and the retailer's lab would only contain those reports which were most useful to someone whose primary orientation was in those specific industries. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't the same reports in both labs. It just meant that if you were a publisher, you weren't getting information that probably didn't matter to you. And if you were a retailer, you probably weren't getting reports on easing directories and things of that nature that you needed to sort through. Currently, on either one of those labs, we divided our reports up into these areas related to either promotion or optimization, and then a separate place that we've been experimenting with where we did the get help from an expert, and we brought in experts to write. We don't think that the get help from an expert is accessed that much. We don't think, and please correct us if we're wrong, we don't think we'll continue to do that, but we have built a major forum system for you. It's completely done. All we've been doing is beta testing. We could have released it at any moment. And I would love to hear from you either by email or if you want to let me know, even in the phone call at some point, if you think the use of a forum would be helpful where you could interact with other people around the research reports as they're released. And the forum is broken up into the primary categories of our research. So, having said that, let me tell you what I do typically, and I'm moving towards the blueprint, because in the end, I want to talk to you about how to use the blueprint, but even prior to that, you may want to join us, you may want to look right at the very bottom of the lab login, where there's a set of plain HTML links, and at that very bottom of the page, you will see a tab that says index. It's not a tab, it's just an underlying link. I would suggest we go there together. The index contains information from all of the key reports, for instance, that would relate to retailers, and the same thing from all of the. If you go to the publishers, there's a tab there that will take you to all the reports that might relate to publishers when you click on that link as well. Now. I think I should make a clarification for you. I don't know if this is helpful, but just so that you know, in the top left nav is the publisher's index when you're on the publisher's lab, and on the retailer's lab, there's the retailer's index. They may be a bit different from each other because of the difference in topic orientation, but when you click on index at the bottom, that should bring you to all of the research that's currently in the lab. These reports are, they take so much work, guys. Some of them 6, 8, 12 months in research. And I mean, we often have data that runs into gigabytes before we're able to boil them down into 20 pages for you of what we hope is helpful. But just so you know, that archive is what I use the most when I just log in and I want to find out something. I can see if it's a brief, as we're experimenting with right now, you'll see the topic. If it's a major report, you'll even see the sub-questions that we're answering in those reports broken out for you. So, having said that, does anybody have any questions about any of the things I've said so far? Okay. Then let's move on. And let's look, go ahead, is that a question? Okay, let's move on and let's look, if you would, at the top. I'm gonna go back to the home page of the lag. So let's all click on, let's say the Retailers Lab tab at the top. That'll all put us on the home page. You'll notice the current report there. Right now we're sending out two of these a month and releasing two major clinics a month. There's also a tab called the Research Log. Now, the Research Log has a lot of entries, and the best way to use it is the search function. If you click in a search function, it's a good search function. If you click in that left search box, and it will return a lot of information in there that's current or useful or may not be found in our reports. However, the Research Log is fastly becoming the research briefs that we've been releasing. That's where it may be morphed into. We may see the Research Log become the briefs and this tab be replaced by the forums as we're working through the most efficient way to plan the navigation of this for you. Can I ask you a question? In general, are you finding your way around in the lab, or do you find it hard to navigate? Can anybody respond to that?
I find it somewhat
hard to
navigate.
A little bit what now?
I find it somewhat hard to navigate.
Okay.
For some reason, I have a tendency to miss a lot of what's on the website.
Okay. We're running usability tests, and if you guys can help me to understand, that would be great. Normally, this left navigation lays out for you the information in categories. Do you find that promote your store, improve your performance, or promote your publication? Do you find that confusing, or what? Can you nail down what might be difficult for you?
I can tell you, Flint, from my point of view, that I find often I'm clicking on you know, an experiment, for example, and I don't know how that relates to the way the navigation is set up somewhere. So in other words, I'll see a whole list of links, I'll click on it, and all once I'm in a weird place on the site, I don't know where I am. So for me, you know, the breadcrumb premise or what an article is and what it's related to is not clear. So from a pure organizational point of view, it'd be nice if things were listed in you know, some sort of a file or directory structure that mimicked a library or something like that.
Are you aware of the breadcrumbs too that we do have at the top of each page?
Like for example, now I'm in Retailer's Lab and I don't see anything. So at least in this case, I guess I see home and marketing plan. I guess I do see that.
There's a set of breadcrumbs. I was getting ready to get to those, but I'm not trying to. I just was quite curious if you were. I'm certainly not trying to minimize what you're saying. You know, we're looking constantly for ways to make it easier for folks, and that's part of why we wanted to have this time with you. Another thing we're doing is we're initiating an orientation for every new member within the first 30 days of their membership. We have somebody that's going to help work them through the lab and do some of the things that we're talking about today.
And that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it'll help.
When I first started I didn't know what I was doing for 6 months. I didn't hardly look at it.
Okay. Well, that brings me, let me tell you another thing that we're thinking about doing that reflects all of this. We've really thought about building a digest that would either be printable and or, you know, a hard copy. Basically, it's a book with all the experiments over the last 12 months organized and available for members where they could access and just get the hard copy, or they could download and print, you know, all of it if they wanted to do it that way. Would that be useful at all?
Yes, it would.
Would anybody think it's not useful? I mean, I know this is not scientific, but I'm just hearing opinions, and that's a good thing.
Now, something to me that is actually directly accessible and a written word is more useful than on a website always.
We're having a hard time hearing you. Is that Chris?
Yeah, it's Chris.
Okay, this guy's calling from Brazil, so just to hear you at all is a good thing. But try see if you can say that again, Chris.
I was just saying, as far as reference materials go,
yeah.
I always prefer a hard copy. In fact, I often print out your articles to read them.
I think that's a valid point. Let's look at something with me. Like, if you go to the home page of the Retailer's Lab, you should see four utilities at the top. And even regardless of what we do, just so you know that these are here, those utilities include the breadcrumbs, a search function, the printer-friendly version of the report, and it's in an Adobe format, and often a blueprint. Like in this case, there's a blueprint here for the Google campaign. And that's an entire step-by-step blueprint. Sometimes we build a blueprint separate from the report because the reports get so long. I just mentioned that because I talk to a lot of our members who actually print their reports. And then, and by the way, callers, in just a few minutes, we're going to actually get interactive with some of these people that are using the lab to success and find out how they're doing it. So bear with us if this part isn't germane to you. But I talk to many members who print the reports, and in printing them, they build a notebook. And I just wonder if it would be great if we designed a whole digest of all the experiments, organized it, and made it a hard copy available. If you think so, I'm hearing that, but there's 20, well, there's more than that. We had this conference booked itself full in the first day or two.
Well,
pardon?
I agree. I would love to have a book because I'm also somebody that prints out all the reports. It's much, much easier to read it on paper than it is to keep scrolling up and down.
What is your name? Can I
this
that?
Is Steve from IncredibleGifts.com.
Steve, okay. I only ask you that because I might contact you, Steve, when I find people who are printing out all the reports. Sometimes, I mean, then I know we have a hardcore user, which is why I've asked you that.
This is Tim Frank from Imagine Marketing. I print all the reports out. However, a book probably wouldn't be interesting to me because it would always, be out of date. I mean, keep adding things. So.
Yeah, that's another question that we had. Well, we thought that we would do editions of it every year. We also thought of doing a loose leaf format that you could add the new experiments as they came out until the new release was done. Would that be more practical than a regular bound book? Or do you think?
It would be for me.
Okay.
Flint?
Yes.
This is Greg from trackhouse.com.
Okay, Greg, go ahead.
How are you? I print out all of the pieces that I'm interested in.
Okay.
But one problem with printing them out is that there are, numerous links.
Yes.
On the pages, so you lose a good percentage of the value of the report.
Yes.
And somehow, perhaps I notice in the URLs at the end of the reports for reference materials that you use the URL rather than a link.
Yeah.
Which is very handy, and I'm wondering if that could be done in the body.
Okay.
Further up.
That's a good point. Is everybody hearing that on my team? Make a note of that if you would. Jeff, are you on also? Jeff Sellers?
Yes.
Okay. Be sure and make a note of that, Jeff. The other thing that we're doing is we're separating out the links at the end now, and we're doing them in a separate literature review because basically what we found is that when we give you 100 links, they were just a long list, and you don't know where to start. It hasn't been filtered. And we, before we do a report on a subject like email capture, we read everything written that we can find, and then we design our experiment, then we conduct our tests, and then we do our write-ups. So what we've done is we're taking our initial literature review, we're rating resources, breaking them into categories, and releasing them in a separate report. Do you find that helpful? Does anybody, the last issue that we sent was the current issue was a literature review. I think it was on email capture or abandoned carts. I'm going to the homepage to see what it was. Have you noticed the literature reviews, and do you find them helpful or not?
I found it extremely helpful, Flint. I had seen a lot of those products, and some of them I had even purchased. And the fact that you had rated them and told us why, I found to be extremely helpful and useful. So that was
great. All right. Well, so go ahead, someone.
This is Chris. I was just going to say, I actually find that to be the most important part of the report.
Interesting. Yeah. Chris Wood.
Yeah, same is true with the affiliates. Sorry.
Go ahead. That's all right. Go ahead.
Well, when you had the reviews of all the affiliate products out there,
yes.
That one in particular I think was probably the most valuable of all the pieces you've done.
Interesting. Well, we're going to keep cranking out literature reviews, and it's good to hear feedback on them because we have to do them for part of our research. And I know that I don't like to get just a long list of links. I'd like to get something that helps me filter through it all. And I also like to see if I'm interested. I don't want to just know what MEC is researching, but I want to see what everybody else is doing. And I'm sure some of you will also if you have the time or the resources to, you know, you're really making a series. You won't be able to do that on everything that we touch, but on some things it's important enough to you, you'll want that, I would assume. All right, well, I have three questions, or a couple more questions I want to ask you, and then I want to move to the blueprint, okay? The question, first of all, is could anybody tell me what helps you the most in our laboratory? You know, why are you members? What are you looking for the most? I'm trying to make sure that we understand what people really want. And so if anybody could comment on what they're getting, you know, why they're still a member, why they pay, what they get out of it, how they use the lab.
Comment?
Go ahead.
Basically, this is Deion Jones at TubeRSoftware.com.
Okay.
We look for case studies of different things that are working. And myself, being an internet marketer for the last 8 years, I teach our clients on what works and what doesn't, and that's the main thing for me. I like to see case studies that I can use right now in the next couple of weeks to, you know, grow opt-ins or whatever the case may be.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Somebody else?
Also,
go ahead.
I like to make money. This is Tim Frank, Imagine Marketing.
Okay.
I like to make money for my clients, and most of your articles will help at least one, if not all, of my clients.
Excellent. That brings me to something that we're thinking about doing, and I'd like to get this is that last question that I'd like to get your feedback on, and that is we're thinking about letting you review in advance our proposed research calendar and somehow voting on what research is most important to you. And one of the reasons we went to two briefs instead of one major report each month is that we want to make sure we're covering, by doing two clinics and two briefs, we're trying to increase the likelihood that one of the topics we're talking about will really help you. Would you like to be able to have input on helping us decide what the research is going to be over the next 6 to 12 months?
You bet.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Great idea.
Okay. Jeff, if you could, Jeff oversees our relationships, that's why I'm referencing Jeff, but please get good notes on this, Jeff, because this is something we're going to need to talk about in development. All right, I am, by the way, just as an interesting point, any moment now, Andy Borland, who founded ClickZ, is going to be here. He's just flown in. Andy, you're not online, are you? I don't think he would be. I think he's actually at the hotel on his way here to meet with us. We're going to be talking with Andy just about things together, I think talking shop. But the idea being, again, that anything we can do with each other to learn and help our groups is a good thing. All right, so let's do this. Let's go to the blueprint. And you all know how to get there, I would hope. It's a major link on the left-hand side under Plan Your Marketing. It says View the Plan. And it's broken down into steps. And these steps are designed so that you can kind of figure out where you are on this continuum and begin to move methodically through the work. And you know that we've done a report already on Google PageRank, and we've done it, but it's not our first. It's actually our third on Google PageRank, and we'll do more as there's a desire, as there's a need to get more updated information. And often you'll see a repeat of these. That's why you'll see sometimes more than one report. But sometimes we don't even list the older reports because they're no longer as up to date. Back when we first did Google, it didn't have, I said PageRank, but AdWords. Back when we first did Google, it wasn't AdWords Select, it was AdWords. And that was a new program. And then it, you know, became AdWords Select and became what it is now. And we've ran 750,000 search terms through it in tests. What I have found is this, and this is kind of what I want to get to and to help you. A number of our members and our research partners are getting like stellar results with this. I'm looking, for instance, at a list of research partners, and I won't tell you their names, but to give you an example, I'm looking at a group that's started very, very small. They sell one primary product. They're doing over in the health-related marketplace. They're doing well over 100,000 a year, I mean a month now, in a little bitty site with that product. Small partner, but it's fascinating their growth and how they've used this information. I'm looking at another one that started very small. And as part of our research, we built a little Yahoo store. I think it did around 27,000 its first month. I think they'll do over 2 million or just did over 2 million this year. Again, they're in an electronic related product. I couldn't tell you more than that. But it's so much of it, the volume is coming from this and also from really smart use of auction sites. I'm looking at another one that just sold, 25,000 plus subscriptions. And I won't bore you with this. When we started 2 months ago, they were doing 30,000. They did 132,000 last month. And I could go down the list. The point I'm trying to make is the meat that you need to grow your company is here if you use it correctly. Now, I often find, however, that we're trying to apply marketing to fix a broken model. And I want to talk about that, and then I'm going to invite some of our people and talk about how they're using this. I've asked them to come online and talk about what they've done. So maybe it will help you. But can I do this first? Can I warn you about what happens when somebody applies for a research partnership? Well, guys, we're not a consultancy. We don't take most of the people that want us to. We don't hire a bunch of junior partners to go out and do consulting work. About 3% of the people that apply for a research partnership are accepted. I wouldn't let that discourage you from applying, though, because we're always looking for good ones as we plan the calendar. We don't work with too many of them, and we focus very hard based on our research. So not speaking as a consultant, per se, I just want to tell you that one of the reasons that we say no to so many research partners is that they haven't truly established a value proposition. Service is not a part of your value proposition. Service is an expected threshold expectation. And the value proposition is the single reason why I should buy from you instead of anyone else. And the truth is, not everybody should buy from you, but the right person, that is your true market, should be choosing you as the best choice, especially on the internet. You have no geographic advantage, hardly, on the internet in most cases. Or at least it's very wide. Most of us are trying to use our marketing skills to persuade people to buy a product that isn't the best solution. We're thriving on pockets of ignorance, and that makes marketing a lot of heavy lifting. I don't believe in that. Come in. I'm in my office here. The reality is, it becomes, is he actually in here? Just a moment. Guys, Andy Borland is coming in, and I know I'm interrupting a conference, but send him in so he's not sitting in the lobby. Andy, how are you? We're in the middle of a web conference. Just have a seat. All right. That's all right. Have a seat. Did someone get you, or did you just walk over? Oh, okay. No problem. At any rate, so thriving on pockets of ignorance is probably not the wisest thing to do, and it makes marketing very hard. One of the reasons why these research partners have grown with substantial curves is because they had a true value proposition to start with. We look for three things. We look for a value proposition that indicates true market opportunity. Secondly, we look for character. that is a management team that actually does what they say they're going to do and that you can depend on and that you can trust. And we look for effectiveness. That is a management team that is more than nice or trustworthy, but are able to execute. They understand what a deadline is and they know how to meet it. So the combination of those three things are often what we look for in a research partner, and that and the intersection with our research calendar as to what we're actually going to focus or concentrate our testing on is how we find a research partner. I would encourage you, if you're on the line now and you're thinking about the blueprint, to be certain that you're not trying to use marketing to patch up a business model that is flawed to begin with. A truly effective business model is a gift. It's hard to be in the right place at the right time with the right offer, but once you have it, you can grow dramatically. So having said that, that's where this blueprint comes in, but I'm assuming that prior to step one on the blueprint, you've already established a model that truly works. And once you have that model in place, then you're able to optimize. And let me tell you what optimization truly is. It is not figuring out tricky ways to especially persuade somebody to get something that might help them. True optimization is communicating very effectively with proper decision tools your value proposition to the right party. If they don't belong as a potential, if they're the wrong fit, if they're not your specific market, help them decide that and find where they need to be. If they are in that niche that you truly serve best, then all you need to do is equip them with the correct information in such a way that it is both clear and accurate. And all that required after that is for them to respond. And that's the difference. And that's why some people beat themselves up trying to resurrect a dead horse. And they should just bury the horse and go find a new one they can ride. So having said that, that's critical prior to step one of this blueprint. Step one will let you optimize. Optimizing your blueprint will make a big difference. I just got off the phone today with one of the largest subscription sites on the internet. I would say you're doing good if you get a conversion rate of 2%. They were starting at 1%. We worked with them on a remarket program to capture lost carts, and that landing page converted at 7.6%. They made a lot of orders, and they're between their phone lines and their online efforts, they're doing nearly 6,000 subscriptions a day. That's what step one is about on this site. Step two is critical because it sets up the test platform. And this brings me to something else that needs to be said to you. Please do not consider your marketing as an attempt for you to discover what might work. And so you go out, you read, do your homework, select a solution, and then implement it. That's not marketing. At that point, you are risking both your money and in some cases, depending on the company you work with, your credibility by announcing that you've found the path or by moving on the path as if it's decisively the one. Marketing is a series of tests, and if you're really smart, it's a series of micro-tests that minimize your risk and that maximize your potential gain. It should never be thought of as one thing, but as a series of small tests helping you refine, and so that really your risks are very small until the point that you've received or achieved that magic line where CPA is exceeded by a worthy margin, and you then are able to duplicate in that specific channel. And that works only until the channel changes, and it will change. So you're constantly testing. And you need the proper metrics to do that, and the most shocking thing that I come across on the internet with some of the largest companies in the world, as well as some of the smaller companies, is they don't know how to measure what they're doing. And without being able to measure, they're clearly unable to really glean the insights that you need in order to make the right decisions. Because, and this is the problem on the academic side, the academics sometimes confuse the means with the end and spend so much time testing that they miss the point. The test is only something you do well enough and long enough to assume or to acquire a probability that makes it reasonable for you to move to the next step. You're really not trying to get data that is absolutely indisputable. You're trying to glean insights which permit your right brain to work as well as your left brain. And that is where you can achieve some level of effectiveness overall. So having said that, that moves you through this series of steps. And we can talk about them more individually. But I'm going to invite, first of all, Jimmy Ellis. Are you on the line? Jimmy Ellis.
Yes, Paul, I'm here.
Okay. Jimmy, I invited to talk with us. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Jimmy. I'll tell you what he's probably not going to tell you. He's very, very, very sharp marketer when we first met him. We did a research project with him 18 months ago, or longer, maybe 2 years. We worked together and quickly grew. His organization grew to, well, on the search side, search traffic alone, I think it did about 30 million in a single year. Jimmy has been using the lab for a long time and using the research and using the information. I want to give you fair warning that on February 15th he starts working with our team, so know that. But since he's one of our earliest members, I thought it would be useful to have him help you to talk about how he's used the research and how he's used the information. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Thanks, everybody. Basically, the company I work with was selling technology products on the internet, and we came to marketing experiments trying to increase our conversion and do some email marketing pieces that would really make a difference, because we were getting a very, very high transaction rate on the site, somewhere around 22 million hits a month and over a million unique visitors. So basically, we were taking what we were already good at and then trying to add value to what we're currently doing and basically to make more profit at the end of the month. So what we did with marketing experiments was basically run through a lot of the experiments that they have already performed and try to apply them to our business to see what we could accomplish. And one of the biggest problems with those transactions is that we were doing nothing to capture the customer's information, absolutely nothing. And that seemed to be our primary goal, was to take care of that first and foremost. And so we started by adding an email capture on the website. And with a carefully crafted email capture, positioned in the right place with things that established a value to our company in which we really hadn't done well in the past, we were able to get a very good conversion rate from visitors to capturing the information so we could remarket to them. And I think our initial email capture, depending on where we tried it, basically we tried a lot of different things that's in the journal. We tried an initial pop-up, we tried an exit pop-up, and we tried just a form on our website. And what happened is on the initial pop-up, entry pop-up, we had about 500 people enter the information that we were able to capture on a daily basis using that entry pop-up. But in our business, in our model with technology products, what happened was our conversion decreased a little bit, our total site conversion. So the next step was to put that pop-up as an exit page, so any customers coming to our site would already complete the buying process, and then we'd give them the pop-up. And we used what was really effective was using a giveaway as the exit pop-up or entry pop-up. And as entering your information for the giveaway and also to receive our emails and specials and promotions and things like that, it incentivized the customer to participate in our email capture, and so we could continue to communicate back and forth with them. So our exit pop-up didn't perform quite as well as the initial pop-up, but our conversion stayed the same. There was absolutely no difference. So as an exit pop-up, it was a little north of 300 email captures per day from the exit pop-up with zero decrease in conversion. So basically, from day one, we were adding value to our total site on a daily, monthly basis by using an exit pop-up, capturing information, and then remarketing to those customers. We also did one other thing, depending on what type of promotion we were offering, was on our homepage, our email capture actually was on every page. And the ones that are on the page don't convert quite as high as the pop-ups did, because it's not so apparent and not in front of the customer as much. But when you really take the time to get the right message with your value proposition included and an incentive, and you have those things on the site and the email capture is in the right position on the page, it really makes a big difference from click-throughs to people you're gonna capture information with. So, and that was just the initial step. We've done quite a few, actually almost the entire blueprint, to tell you the truth. How much do you want me to go through?
I think that's good for now. And feel free to ask Jimmy questions. And Jimmy, we may come back to you. But I think that using specifically the email capture information that Jimmy's using is one of the key ways. I spoke yesterday to one of the largest companies on the internet, and much to my surprise, they have no real email capture in place. And I think they're leaving 30% of their marketing budget on the table. Because you're paying for the click, you get it to your site, you don't make the sale, you have to pay again to get the same click back instead of establishing a relationship. Think of your pay-per-click not as just winning a site visitor. Think of it as capturing a relationship. That's the only way it justifies the true cost, because conversion off of pay-per-click is going to be a lower conversion ratio typically. I'm sorry, a lower conversion ratio than you will get off of your, say, your comparison search engine click traffic, because those people are in a closer proximity to the purchase decision. If you think of the linear cycle, they are closer to buying. They went to a shopping engine in order to buy, as opposed to a pay-per-click engine where they may have or may not. Having said that, you want strong email capture, and you know that's one way that the blueprint's been used, and you know maybe it'll help you.
Well, let me add something here, I could.
Yes, please.
This is Jimmy Ellis again, and in regards to pay-per-click, like Dr. McLaughlin was talking about, we were very, very heavy on the comparison sites, and it was extremely expensive. And taking advantage of that initial traffic and using it again, so not only capturing the customer one time, but reusing the information so you don't have to capture them again, was essential to cost savings, because we were doing about over $100,000 a month in pay-per-click between the online comparison engines such as PriceWatch, PriceGrabber, DealTime, stuff like that. And so we were paying all this money to get traffic, and we were converting very well. I mean, our focus was taking those listings and optimizing them. We weren't doing anything after the initial purchase. That was it. I mean, the relationship ended there unless they decided to come back.
Yeah.
So, like I said, capturing those clicks and reusing them basically took a $100,000 budget on the pay-per-click campaign and turned it into additional sales. So whether they were initial sales that we got, and then we used the information to get additional sales the following week, following month, the following year, they were continuing to add to the money we had already spent on the initial pay-per-click campaign. So it was basically a different way to use your pay-per-click campaign, not just for initial sales, but also to capture email and customer information.
Now, I spoke, it's a very good point, Jimmy. I spoke 2 days ago to, I think it was two, might have been three, to Adam Levitt. I've never talked to Adam before. And Adam, are you on this telephone call?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And Adam and a partner startup company, they're doing very well. They've got a smart operation. Adam, give us a URL so people can see the site.
USAHealthcare.com.
USAHealthcare.com. And essentially, what is your product, Adam?
We sell a discount healthcare plan mainly for people who cannot afford to buy regular health insurance.
Okay. Okay. And so you're generating leads then, or are you generating actual transactions?
Well, the way we're set up right now is we generate traffic to a landing page to capture contact information, then sent to a call center to respond to. But as we've looked at the marketing print, we've realized that it would really make more sense, once the site is more optimized, to accept it, to send traffic to the site with the correct marketing message.
Okay.
Let people, look around and hopefully make more sales online. It's much less expensive.
One of the reasons I asked Adam to join us and talk for just a moment, and feel free to query him also. He's not a research partner. I think he is a candidate, but he's not a research partner. is simply because they've been downloading and printing and using these reports to improve the results. Tell, how are you using the lab, Adam?
Well, what we've done so far, we had a very rudimentary metrics program up until about 2 weeks ago when we joined the lab, and we've placed a new metrics program on there. We've actually had our programmer even build some custom programming, get even further into see what is and is not happening. And we've pushed the company that we do our search engine optimization with to give us more detailed reporting, what's happening with the search term, each engine, so on and so forth. And we've recently actually been able to figure out which engines are dragging down our conversion and have been able to cut them, which terms are dragging down our conversion, been able to cut them.
Okay.
And we want to get into more of the steps, but we really just need to let some of this data compile for a little bit before we start to make sure we're making the right change, the smart change in the right area.
Yes. All right. The final thing I want to do with you, and Adam's been, so are you printing the reports, Adam? Is that what you're doing?
We actually, my partner, I'm in Maryland and my partner's in California, so we actually get on, log on together and pull up into Messenger and read through the reports together and kind of click through and scroll. We don't print them out. We look at them right now because, as someone else mentioned, the links within the reports are really very important in the understanding of the report as a whole.
Yeah.
We kind of just read each section, go back and forth with each other on our thoughts on each section and outward link.
My goodness. Well, let me do this. I've also invited, and he's in Brazil right now, but he'll be back. So, I think this may be useful for you. Chris Chenault was a physicist doing his research. He actually completed his research for his doctoral research as a physicist, and launched a business in eBay that quickly grew rapidly. We built, rebuilt a Yahoo store for him, and that's grown rapidly. Very rapidly. In large part because Chris has been very, very smart in how he's used the research. They didn't have a large team. They just got a new building this past year, and they've continued to grow. And I hesitate to say how much because I don't want to reveal something that wouldn't be inappropriate. But the bottom line is, he's used the research in a very intelligent way, and I've invited him. If we have difficulty hearing you, Chris, we'll just drop it off. But tell us how you're using the lab as well, because it might make a difference in what we're thinking.
Okay. Let me first say that my first attraction to the lab was that the research there was done very well and very scientifically. Just looking at that from that standpoint, it allowed me, with my background, to really understand what was working. When I look at a report, what I'm really trying to pull out of that is the basic principle that you're studying, and then what your results are, and then as well, what are the tools that I can use to implement that. One of the things that I've worked with Dr. McLaughlin and his team was to go ahead, especially with pay-per-click, and really have good metrics. I'm all for metrics, but as Dr. McLaughlin has said, you can't pin all your hopes on them either. They're very hard to get just right. But I find actually going through a report, printing it out, reading through it, looking at the research materials that he's gathered for you, really gives me a real core knowledge of what's going on. Does anybody have any questions?
No, that's good. I want to be careful. Please, if you're a member right now, I don't want to. This call isn't designed to be a commercial for our group. Although Chris is being very helpful and everybody's being very generous, it's designed to help you. And I just want you to know that, to understand how to use the data. And so, I think that what I will do is, you've got the blueprint. Chris is here. I want to let you know also that we're going to be bringing 50 executives in the month of May to Orlando at Universal Studios, where Chris is going to be, and Jimmy and a number of our Craig Collins, the New York Times, and a number of others, and we're going to actually work together on, in a kind of a hands-on set of experiments to grow our and optimize and grow our company. So you may be invited to that. We'll let you know as we get closer. Probably next week we're going to be releasing information. In the meantime, we appreciate the things that you've shared with us, particularly in the beginning of this conversation, and I've taken careful notes. Jeff has got his notes, and we're going to work with that as we try to implement and also the forum concept. Does anybody have anything they want to suggest related to the forum concept before we go? Would you find that helpful? What's that?
This is Chris.
Yes.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
I think it would be very helpful, especially if it's moderated by somebody who's been involved with the experiment there.
Yeah. Okay. That's a very good point. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. I want to bring the conference to a close. I want to thank you again for your trust. And we appreciate it, and I don't be afraid to ask us or to send us any information that will help us understand how to make the navigation better, how to make things better for you. Thank you, and we've got another conference coming up in a couple of weeks on related to a very focused issue. You have a wonderful day, and thank you again. Goodbye.
Thanks, Clint.